At the career and life of Dodie Smith, author of the hugely popular children's story, The 101 Dalmatians. Open book is in an hour's time. First, we go back to London in the 1930s for our classic serial, the second book in the Out of the Hitler Time trilogy by Judith Kerr. Anna and her family have settled in London amongst many other refugees.
Bombs on Aunt Dainty by Judith Kerr. Dramatised by B.T. Rubens.
Anna, where have you been? You've been ages.
Sorry, Mama. I didn't know you were back, Max.
Hi, sis.
You can't stay long. One of his Cambridge friends gave him a lift.
I bought these from a stall. I thought they might bring us luck.
Daffodils?
Whatever did they cost?
They smell of spring. Put them in my tooth mug, Anna.
Do you know, it's 7 years today since we left Germany.
Well, they're a bit floppy. I'm afraid they may have overstrained themselves. Still, at least the four of us are all here together.
What do you think Hitler's going to do next, Papa?
Well, he'll act when he's ready. The question is whether the British will be ready too.
Nobody's worrying about the war in Cambridge. I went to the recruiting board the other day. They just told me to get my degree first.
A clever boy like you. They obviously wouldn't want to waste such talent, would they?
No, Mama, it's nothing to do with that. It's the same for all my friends. They're telling everyone, leave it for a couple of years. Perhaps by then, Papa might have his citizenship and we'll all be properly British.
If they make an exception for him.
Well, they should.
Unfortunately, it's not very useful just now to be a German writer.
Look, I really must go now or I'll miss my train.
Oh, darling.
Walk me to the underground, Anna. I've hardly seen you. Goodbye, Mama.
Safe journey, darling.
Bye, Papa.
Bye-bye, Max.
Won't be long.
Right.
The BBC turned Papa down for broadcasting to Germany.
Why on earth did they do that?
Apparently, he's too famous. Everyone in Germany knows he's anti-Nazi, so they won't take any notice of anything he says.
I thought he was looking rather old and tired. What about you, Anna?
Me? Do I look old and tired? Oh, I suppose I'm all right.
I thought you liked your art course.
That's just rather hopeless, isn't it? I mean, you read about artists leaving their homes to live in garrets, but what if you live in a garret already?
Oh, poor Frau Gruber. What would she think if she heard you call the Hotel Continental a garret? What would the Poznanskis say? And the Grunbergs? And that strange little couple from Rouen who played bridge the whole time?
Who knows what their lives were like once? Now they can drink tea with milk and discuss the cricket scores all day. Honestly, you should hear Cousin Otto going on about yesterday's play at Lord's. But they'll always be refugees because they can't speak English properly. It's the same with Mama and Papa. That's the difference between them and us.
Yes, you're right.
I've been thinking I should get a job.
A job? You haven't any qualifications. And you're not even 16. I seem to have had all the luck.
Oh, don't be silly. A Cambridge scholarship isn't luck.
I tell you what. Why don't you come to Cambridge for a weekend? I can manage the money. You can meet some of my friends and I'll show you around. It'd be a break from it all.
Just as Mama had fought so hard to get Max's place at a public school when we'd first arrived, so now it was determined, formidable Mama who helped me acquire some useful qualifications.
So, young lady, you want help with your fees to train as a secretary?
We've never asked for anything before.
You did extremely well in your school certificate. Why didn't you want to stay on at school?
I didn't like it, and they didn't teach us much.
Pity. Obviously a clever girl. Still, the times as they are. Well, now, there are so many refugees needing help that I have to ask a few questions. You've been here since 1935, left Berlin in 33. Forgive me, madam. I do realise that your husband is a very distinguished writer and critic.
Yes.
But, is there not something he could do for the time being?
My husband is not a practical man. He is also a good deal older than I am.
Yes, of course.
I have a sort of secretarial job which helps to pay the bills, but I've no qualifications. I studied music as a girl. At least, if Anna does this shorthand course, She'll always be able to earn a living. Though, of course, it's not what we intended for her.
And do you want to be a secretary?
Plenty of girls my age are already earning a living. Going up to Cambridge for the weekend? I'm going to visit my brother. I used to go and visit my brothers all the time when I was a girl. Such fun. May balls and picnics at Grantchester. Very jolly times. Where'd you come from, my dear?
Berlin.
Berlin? But you're English.
No. We left Germany in 1933.
Oh. Well, you haven't a trace of an accent. I would have sworn you were just a nice, ordinary English girl. But what about the war? You're in enemy territory.
We're against Germany. We want the English to win.
Against your own country?
Against the Nazis. You see, we don't feel it is our country any longer.
George, this is my sister, Anna. George was in my house at school, and now he's reading English at Cats. Or so he says.
How do you do?
Excellently well, thank you. Why on earth did you never tell me you had such a comely sister, Max? Far too comely for you. Really, Anna, I may call you Anna, mayn't I?
Of course.
The most kind. Surely a comely girl like you could have found someone more suitable for a brother. Excuse me. I don't suppose I could have another spoon of sugar, could I?
You want more sugar? Not sweet enough already. Don't you know there's a war on?
Is there? No one told me. How ghastly.
Honestly, you young gentleman, you're so insinuating. Don't know what the government would say. Just wait till you're in uniform.
You'll have to learn to like drinking tea without sugar then, old man.
It's funny, actually, all this business of don't you know there's a war on. It really doesn't seem as though there is, does it?
No. You'd imagine something more, well, urgent.
When you think about the last one, all those people being killed. And that was meant to be the war to end all wars. Still, if someone carries on like Hitler, I suppose in the end there's nothing you can do but fight him, you know. Fight to the death. My God, Carruthers, there's a machine gun nest on that hill. I'll go, sir. And if I don't come back, tell them I did it for England. Actually, it must all seem even dafter to you, the war, I mean. I always forget that you weren't born here.
Yeah, sometimes I almost forget myself.
I say, is that the time? It's very good to meet you, Anna. I hope you'll permit me to demonstrate my punting skills over the weekend. I must fly.
Literally?
Literally.
He's in the university air squad.
You're so lucky. You really seem to belong here, Max. George is right. You probably never get that feeling anymore.
What feeling?
That we're unlucky.
Oh, you mean that we're refugees?
No, unlucky for the countries we live in. Well, look what happened in Germany. And we'd hardly been in France a year before they had a depression. And you remember how solid and dependable England seemed when we first arrived, and now there's a war and rationing.
But it's not our fault.
Sometimes I feel like the Wandering Jew.
Didn't he have long hair and whiskers? Anyway, as far as I remember, the Wandering Jew wasn't considered to bring bad luck.
Well, I don't suppose anyone was very pleased to see him.
You're potty. Absolutely potty. Now, if I'm really going to get this first that Mama's hoping for, I must do some work. We'll go back to my digs and you can read the papers or listen to the wireless.
The German government has issued a statement saying they have decided to take over the protection of Denmark and Norway.
This is the BBC Home Service. Here is a short news bulletin. The German army invaded Holland and Belgium early this morning by land and by landings from parachutes. The armies of the Low Countries are resisting. Germans claim to have mined all Dutch and Belgian ports. The British War Cabinet met at 8 a.m. All civil defense organizations in this country are warned to be on the alert.
It's just what the English have been waiting for. They'll go in there and smash the Germans to smithereens. The French will help too, of course.
I admire your optimism, Otto, but I don't share your faith in Mr. Chamberlain. And I don't believe the English are ready for battle.
Just because a man like Chamberlain appears not to be doing anything doesn't mean that he's not organising it all secretly. That's British understatement for you. No drama or fuss. And he's fooled the Germans completely.
He seems also to have fooled the British Parliament. I understand they are trying to get rid of him at this very moment.
More tea. And pass Cousin Otto the milk, will you?
Sorry, here you are.
Thank you.
And tell me, Otto, how's Dainty? And your father?
Mama's fine, thank you. Busy as ever. Papa's much the same. Rather worse, if anything, I'm afraid.
Oh, dear.
Sometimes he doesn't recognise me anymore. I'm worried how Mama will manage if I get this job.
What job? Oh, why didn't you tell us?
I'm off to Cambridge this afternoon to see my old physics professor from Berlin. He's asked me to drop by.
Oh, it would be wonderful if he has something for you.
I'll look in on Cousin Max while I'm there.
Give him lots of love and ask him to write.
And wish him good luck for his exams.
Oh, the exams start soon. Tell him not to write. He'll be far too busy.
I wonder if you would kindly give him a message from me, Otto. Mm. I think that now the Germans have attacked Belgium and Holland, Max may want to volunteer.
Join us.
Of course, he must do whatever he thinks right. But would you ask him, please, to discuss it with the university authorities first, before he makes up his mind?
But he's far too young. He's only 18. As if we hadn't got enough to worry about already.
Anna, it's George.
Hello, George.
You know Max's friend.
Yes.
Look, something awkward's happened.
Mm-hmm.
I don't quite know how to put it. Max, he's been arrested.
Arrested?
As an enemy alien.
That's ridiculous. Of course he isn't an enemy alien. We lost our German nationality years ago, and he's just waiting to become naturalised as British.
Well, we told them all that, but it made no difference. They're interning all male enemy aliens in Cambridge, and he was on their list.
Interning?
In some kind of camp.
A camp?
Listen, everyone here has made an awful fuss. Me, his tutor, the college, but it's government orders. Bit of a panic, if you ask me, after what happened in Holland.
I see.
You see, exams start in 2 weeks, and Max was hoping that perhaps if your parents knew someone who could explain to the police. Mm. He's taken his law books with him, but almost no clothes. Oh. Typical Max. I'm dreadfully sorry about all this.
Ships of all kinds have plied to and fro across the channel under the fierce onslaught of the enemy's bombers.
As we gathered round the wireless in the lounge of the Hotel Continental each evening, there was always at least one resident who was personally affected by the news. Rotterdam had been bombed. Brussels had fallen. The Germans had invaded France. They had reached Calais. British children were being evacuated from London, and all the time, we were waiting for news of Max.
There's a letter.
At last!
Dear Mama and Papa and Anna, they moved us around for the first couple of weeks, but this seems to be our permanent address.
Well, where is he?
Well, it must be the Isle of Man, like they said in the papers.
Yeah. Oh, go on, Papa.
The place is full of Italian waiters and German professors. There's a joke going round that one very eminent Italian professor was asked whether he wouldn't prefer to be billeted with the Germans. But in the end, he declared he would rather be a professor among waiters than a waiter among professors. I certainly feel like a fish out of water here myself.
Oh, Max.
If there's anything at all you can do, anyone you can think of to write to... But at least we know he's all right.
Mm, yeah.
Now, you and Mama can go and celebrate your birthday tomorrow, Anna.
Hello, Papa. I didn't know you were coming to meet us. The film was wonderful. It was called Mr. Deeds Goes to Town, and it was all about a millionaire who wants to give his money away.
Oh, if only we could find a millionaire like that.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
And then we had Knickerbocker Glories at Lyons.
Oh, delicious.
Strawberry and vanilla ice cream and cream and strawberries and nuts all in a tall glass with a special long spoon. Papa, is something wrong?
I'm afraid the news is not good. Paris has fallen.
Paris. On Anna's 16th birthday.
I've rung Sam and made an appointment to see him tomorrow. And Louise said, would you two come as well?
The Rosenbergs? Why?
Just something I want to talk to Sam about.
My dear, it's so awful. We have to pack up everything.
Oh.
We've taken a house in Berkshire, and we're going to close up this flat completely, except for Sam's consulting room, and he'll just drive up to see his important patients.
Uh-huh.
It's all such a rush, but Sam says we simply must get out of London, what with the French collapsing.
Indeed.
You have no idea how hard it is to get anyone to move the furniture. Do you know, I rang up 11 firms before I found one who'd do it, and...
I'm sure they'll smash the china. My precious little mice and pieces. You remember the ones my mother left me?
Oh, yes.
But it's dreadful to fuss when people like you are staying behind in London. I always was a fool, even when we were at school together.
Oh, nonsense. Anyway, you were always the pretty one, even when we were at school.
That's true. Sam's always reminding me. Goodness, those two husbands of ours are taking a long time. I wonder when they'll finish through there. The tea's getting cold. Anna, would you be a dear and see what's keeping them? Go through the baize door into Sam's consulting rooms. Can you find your way?
Oh, I'm sure I can.
And there's a parcel on the hall table. I looked out a few things for you, clothes and so on, while I was packing up. And there's an envelope in the parcel, too, just to help you through the next few weeks.
Oh.
Would you fetch that, too?
Of course.
Thank you, Louise. You're very kind. Anna will get a job as soon as she's finished her secretarial course.
A job?
Mm.
Really? Who'd have thought? Just remember, you're always welcome in our new place.
Oh, Louise.
It's quite rural out there. Sam says I'll need Wellington boots. Where does one go to buy Wellington boots?
Is something the matter with you, Papa?
With me? No. What?
Well, when I came to find you, I saw Uncle Sam give you some pills.
Oh.
I didn't know you were ill.
I'm not. They were pills, though. You're right about that. But just for use in an emergency.
I see.
Really, darling, I promise you, only in an emergency.
Another letter from Max.
Oh.
He says his old headmaster has offered him a job teaching, and that may help get him released.
Oh, anything to get him out.
What else does he say?
As you probably know, Cousin Otto is here now, and we're sharing a room.
Oh.
He's pretty low. The only thing that cheers him up is P.G. Woodhouse. He reads late into the night, and I don't get to sleep, because he will laugh out loud at the funny bits. I daren't say anything for fear of making him depressed again. Mm. I haven't read P.G. Woodhouse.
Oh, he's very funny, Papa. You'd like him.
Last Friday, one chap, a middle-aged Jew who had been in a German concentration camp before escaping to England, hanged himself.
Oh, God.
He just couldn't face being in a camp again. Any camp. It was nobody's fault, but naturally we're all very depressed. Some people are opting to be shipped to the Commonwealth rather than face indefinite internment here. But not me. I still think I belong in this country, even if they don't agree with me at the moment.
Good boy, Max.
I do realise things can't be much fun in London, but if there's anything more you can do... Well, I wonder who else we might write to.
Perhaps this job offer from his old headmaster might make a difference.
If we're not all bombed out first.
Anna! What are you doing up here?
I couldn't sleep. I told Mama I needed the lav, but I just wanted to get out of the cellar.
It is rather claustrophobic down there.
I know it's safer, but I can't sleep with the mattresses so close together. The Bazanskis were reciting their prayers out loud. Madame Laval kept bursting into tears. Frau Gruber said she wasn't going to let the Germans spoil her dinner, and would anyone else like a second serving of prunes and custard?
So, did you have one?
I seem to have lost my appetite.
Rather close for comfort. No, don't stand too close to the window, Anna.
The colours are rather wonderful, aren't they?
The whole of London seems ablaze tonight.
Don't you think those orange flares are like gigantic floating Christmas decorations?
But the Germans set them off to help them aim their bombs at us.
I know, but look. Pink ones now.
It may be the end of the civilized world, but it is certainly very beautiful.
The Blitz had begun in earnest now. The results of the battles in the skies above London were read out like cricket scores. So many German planes shot down, so many British planes lost. Before long, it was clear that there weren't many British planes left, and the American press was saying that the invasion of Britain would take place any day. Each night, I lay in the basement, imagining the end of the world. The Nazis had landed. Mama and Papa had swallowed Sam Rosenberg's pills. I was stumbling through a vast grey landscape, terrified, searching for Max. Then, just as hope seemed exhausted, Mama's letter-writing campaign paid off.
To Max.
Max!
You haven't changed a bit.
What did you think? That I'd be all embittered? Never smile again? Mind you, I'm certainly going to make sure nothing like the last 4 months ever happens to me again.
Well, how can you?
I'm going to teach for a year, and then I'm going to join up.
Join up? For God's sake, Max! Are you determined to get killed? As though we haven't got enough to worry about already.
Do they take Germans?
We'll see. Good Lord, was that a...
Yes. But a long way off.
Really, Mama? All that letter writing to bring me home to this?
I can't think what they're up to bombing on the very night you come home.
I don't mind. Honestly, I'm glad to be suffering the same as everyone else.
Oh, it's been much worse than this, you know.
And I'm afraid there may be more to come.
It's jolly good of you to come down for an interview, but, you know, I can't possibly give you the job.
Oh, why not?
Top marks in school cert, shorthand in three languages, you'd be bored stiff. You should be somewhere like the War Office. Well, they're crazy for girls like you, but French, German...
I've tried the War Office. They won't have me.
Why ever not? What's wrong with you?
I'm not English.
Irish, of course, green eyes. Must be Irish.
No, German.
German?
German-Jewish. My father's name was on the first Nazi blacklist. After we left Berlin, they put a price on his head, dead or alive. I used to have nightmares about it. So I'm hardly likely to sabotage the British war effort, but I don't seem to be able to convince anyone to give me a job.
I see. It doesn't sound like cricket to me. Decent sort of girl like you. Tell you what, I'm my own boss after all. We'll give you a try.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. What will I have to do?
Well, all those packages on the shelves contain wool. Your job is to send the wool out to the little women knitting all over the country. They send back the finished items, sweaters, socks, balaclavas, what have you, and you send them on to the chaps and the forces who need them.
Well, I'm sure I can manage that.
Not very difficult, and not much need for your languages. Unless, of course, we send some to the Free French. Never know, they might need some extra woolies.
Well, what goes on next door?
More old ladies. Rather closer to home. Bit more responsibility. They make pyjamas, bandages, all that for hospitals. All voluntary, of course. You have to give them Bovril in the morning and tea and biscuits in the afternoon. You wouldn't mind that, would you?
Not at all.
It's all jolly useful. I came up with the idea after talking with my own son, Dickie. He's in the Air Force, you know. Always cold. Never enough woolies. Matter of fact, he's just about to take his exams to become a navigator. Not much head for scholarship, poor fellow, but oh, he's a jolly good chap. And our dear old friend, Jack Manning Fraser, the Air Chief Marshal, has given him a bit of coaching. Anyway, all frightfully busy, so I could do with a hand here, really.
How much would you be...
Oh, most important part of the business. Was going to say £3, but reckon you could get more with all those languages. Say £3.10 a week. That suit you? Start Monday.
Thank you, Mrs. Hammond.
I had work. I was contributing at long last. Some months later, a bomb hit the adjoining house and destroyed it totally. Nobody in the Hotel Continental suffered more than cuts and bruises, but the building was uninhabitable. We considered ourselves lucky when Frau Gruber was offered another house with a large garden out of the centre of town, in Putney.
Are you all right, Anna?
I've been thinking.
What?
Last week was the closest we've been to getting killed. And here we are in this garden, with the wet grass and the bushes and the birds singing.
Well, that German airman had dropped the bomb just a fraction of a second earlier. We wouldn't be sitting here.
It's difficult to imagine everything going on without one.
Well, if we were dead, people would still eat breakfast and ride on buses. There would still be wooden benches in misty gardens. Mm. It's a kind of comfort.
Maybe. For quite a long time last summer, I didn't think we'd live even till now.
Nor did I.
I was terrified. Imagining the actual moment of the bomb falling. Being suffocated by masonry, or laid out like corpses down in the hotel basement. And it seemed so awful to die before one had even had time to find out what one could do. Before one had even had time to try. But now...
Now it's November and the invasion hasn't happened. Who knows? Now perhaps we do have a chance.
At 4 o'clock this morning, Hitler attacked and invaded Russia. This was no surprise to me.
Quite extraordinary.
But I thought the Russians and the Germans were allies.
Well, so did we all, including the Russians. At least it'll distract them from invading England.
Well, that's good news, isn't it? Why are you so glum?
It looks like I'll have to spend another year teaching. I have the same qualifications as the chaps I trained with. Better, in fact. But nobody will have me. I knew the Army and Navy had rules against foreign nationals, but I was sure the Air Force would take me. If only we had a few friends in high places.
What kind of friends?
You know, if Papa was friends with an Air Chief Marshal or two. Oh,
Mrs. Hammond knows someone called Sir Jack Manning Fraser. Would he be of any use?
Do you think your Mrs. Hammond would give me an introduction?
Mrs. Riley, hello. This is my brother Max. Mrs. Riley works in the sewing room, Max. Is Mrs. Hammond in yet? Are you all right, Mrs. Riley?
Terrible news.
About what?
Oh, haven't you heard? Mrs. Hammond's son's been killed in his aeroplane. Not even an operational flight. The plane just went and stalled and crashed. The whole crew dead. Every one of them.
Dickie. No.
Her only child.
That's dreadful news.
I met him a couple of times. He was such a nice boy.
I don't expect we'll be seeing her today.
Of course not. I'm so sorry. I suppose I'd better be off. Yeah. Give her my condolences, won't you, please?
Oh. Mrs. Hammond, I'm so sorry.
It's all right. I know. There's nothing to be said. Now, you must be Max. You want to meet Jack. You know you don't have to do this. Are you sure it's what you want?
Quite sure.
Like bloody lambs to the slaughter.
Mrs. Hammond did put in a word for Max. My job continued, but the joy had gone out of it. So I quite welcomed the idea when Mama asked if I could take a day of leave and go with her to visit Cousin Otto's parents, Aunt Dainty and Uncle Victor.
How on earth did they get Uncle Victor out of the concentration camp?
Oh, there was some kind of ransom. Dainty sold all her possessions, and she was quite rich. Gave the money to the Nazis. Otto was already here studying, and he talked the Home Office into agreeing to let them come to England.
Well, that's why he thinks the English are so wonderful.
Oh, the Nazis would never have let Victor go otherwise.
And why is she called Aunt Dainty?
Oh, it was a nickname when she was a child. She was rather delicate and so neat and tidy. Hardly suits her now, as you'll see. She's a brave woman, though. Ah, here we are.
Here we are, my dears. Chicken soup with dumplings.
I haven't had real knödel since we left Berlin. Oh, you always were a wonderful cook, Dainty.
They're delicious.
I certainly always liked cooking, but I've learnt something new now. How do you like my curtains?
You didn't make them.
And the cushions on the sofa, and the skirt, and rag rugs for the lodgers' rooms.
Mama had to let the rooms upstairs when I was interned, with Father the way he is. And now she's turned the old place into a palace.
A palace? In Golders Green?
How did you learn? Who showed you?
Evening classes at the London County Council. They cost practically nothing. A few shillings for a whole term. You should try them.
Oh, you remember me, dainty, hopeless at anything practical.
Maybe I could, Mama. Do you think there would be art classes?
Certainly, my dear. Otto, could you find Anna the leaflet in my bureau?
Of course, Mama.
Anna's quite talented, you know, dainty. Of course, she did well in her school certificate. Mama. Yeah, very well, in fact. But drawing and painting are what interest her most these days.
Yes, I can see you have clever hands, Anna. One of these courses might suit you very well. And you'll meet interesting people, too. Mm. My Otto's on his way back to Canada, you know, to join his old Cambridge professor. Ah. Some kind of research they're up to. Very hush-hush.
Mama, Papa's gone again.
Quick! Go after him. He can't have gone far yet.
I'll find him.
Gone?
He runs away. He keeps doing it in his nightshirt.
Runs away?
We don't seem to be able to make him understand that he's no longer in the camp. He has some idea of escaping. Oh. He thinks we're the... God knows who he thinks we are.
Oh, dainty, I had no idea he'd got so bad.
No reason why you should. It's all right. It's hard for Otto. He was so close to his father when he was small. But me, I'm used to it now. As far as one ever gets used to such things.
Oh, gosh. It's freezing tonight. I meant to arrive earlier and get closer to the fire.
It is rather cold.
Oh, damn. My hands are so stiff I keep dropping my pencil. Oh, thank you. You're new, aren't you? Have you done life drawing before?
No, my first time.
Good for you. I'm Barbara. I've been coming to Cotmore's classes for years.
My father says Mr. Cotmore's quite a famous artist. Didn't he have an exhibition recently?
Oh, yes. He's good, all right. Interesting character. Oh, here he comes. You better get on with your drawing.
Not bad. But you don't want to start with all that detail. May I?
Of course.
Look, do a few guidelines like this. Sort of scaffolding. Then sketch in the rest of the head. Body, arms, and leave the detail till last. You see?
Yes. Thank you.
And you might like to look at yourself in the mirror before you go home. Your face is covered in charcoal smudges.
Oh, I will.
It doesn't matter much. No one will notice in the blackout.
Hey, don't be put off. Practically redrawn the whole thing.
Yes, he has, but he spent a lot of time with you, which is a good sign. He only spends time with people he thinks show promise.
I hear you're living in a social whirl.
Who told you that?
Mama says that you're out at art classes two nights a week, then discussing modern art with your new friends in cafes late into the night.
I'm thinking of signing up for an oils class, too.
Well... it looks as though this war is going to go on forever, so you may as well enjoy it.
How's the Air Force?
It's just the same old story. I come out top of my pilot officer class, and they still won't let me fly.
Why?
They're afraid that if I was shot down and the Germans found out that I'm technically a German myself, they wouldn't treat me as a prisoner of war. So I've got to be a flying instructor.
Well, that's important too.
Yes, but everyone else gets to fly on ops, and I'm stuck at base, on the ground, not allowed anywhere near a plane. It's not fair.
Mama? What's the matter? Has something happened? Is it Max?
It's all right. Nothing terrible. Mama has lost her job.
What do you mean, nothing terrible? How are we going to live?
We'll manage somehow.
You'll find something else, Mama. There's more jobs now because so many people have joined up.
Maybe... I am sick of always having to start again. If only the BBC would take some of your writing.
I wish I could do more to help. I can try ringing them again, but I doubt it'll do much good. You'll think of something.
Oh, why should it always be me? Why can't you think of something for a change?
You're so much better at it than I am. You've got the afternoon off, Anna.
I'm going to the exhibition at the National Gallery, the French Impressionists.
Splendid.
But I need a fourth to play bridge. The Poznanskis are both free. Well, surely you can go another time.
No, I can't. I'm sorry, Mama, but it closes on Saturday. This may be my last chance.
I don't ask much. You might do this one little thing for me. Bridge is my one pleasure in life. The only thing that takes my mind off the endless worrying about money. You're out all the time at your art classes with your John Cotmore and all sorts of people, and now this exhibition. Don't you think you could just do this one thing to make my life a little easier?
I felt guilty, but increasingly I found myself trying to get away from the Putney house. Papa was hard to help, and Mama was often depressed, quite dramatically so sometimes. My new art school friends, John Cotmore in particular, seemed to open up a whole new world.
Hello. How nice to bump into you.
Mr. Cotmore.
John.
John.
What did you think of the Impressionists?
I loved them.
First time you've seen them?
Yes.
First time I saw them was, 20 years ago in Paris. I was quite a dashing young man then.
Well, I used to live in Paris. I went to school there.
Finishing school?
No, the École Communale. Elementary school. We're refugees.
Oh, I've been wondering about you.
We came from Berlin. I don't usually tell people.
Why not?
People think it's odd.
Oh, I don't think it's odd. You shouldn't go around pretending you're something you're not. Where you come from is part of you. Just like your talent for drawing.
I was wondering if I might ask your advice, actually.
Ask away.
Well, I've been trying to paint a group scene. Some people sheltering from an air raid in the underground. And I'm finding it hard to create the sort of somber mood they're feeling without just making that whole picture seem rather drab.
A bit hard to say without seeing it. I tell you what, why don't you bring it round to my house? Come and have tea on Saturday.
Are these yours? They're lovely.
Oh, you're very sweet. I'll just get the tea. I'll have a look through them. I'm working towards another exhibition. Tell me what you think.
Well, this one's rather different.
Which one? That's not mine. That's my wife's.
Oh. I didn't know you were married.
Oh, we live apart.
I'm sorry.
No, it's quite a friendly arrangement. We each go our own way. You probably don't know about such things at your age, but people make mistakes and marriages break up. It's no use blaming anyone. Now, you pour the tea and let me take a look at your painting.
I know it's not much good.
Come and sit next to me on the sofa. Then we'll get the light from the window.
It's awful. I know it's awful, but I thought you could help me improve it.
Oh, it's not as bad as all that. The composition's good. There's nothing wrong with what you're trying to do. Only you've got a lot to learn. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that.
It's all right.
You're very young.
I'm 18.
Yes, but you've got a lot to learn, and I'm not sure I should be the one to teach you. Tempted as I am, I'm going to send you home.
Now?
Now.
But I don't mind.
I'll see you in class on Monday. Go on. Go now. And you should make it home before the blackout.
All that summer, I was in a daze of happiness. I attended the art school 4 nights a week and lived for our furtive kisses, always dreaming of something more, though I couldn't really imagine how or where that more would take place. My painting improved too, and the war at last seemed to be going better, with victory in North Africa and the Germans being pushed back in Russia. It was only life at home in Putney that didn't improve.
It can't be that bad.
Unbelievable.
What's unbelievable, Papa?
Louise has asked Papa to revise Sam's memoirs. She said how much it would mean to him to have the views of a great writer.
What are they about, Papa?
Oh, they're about his patients. You know, the famous ones he had in Berlin.
How did you know, for example, that the Minister for Justice under the Weimar Republic had stomach ulcers?
Now, where's the harm in helping him revise
they're
them?
They're just incredibly bad. Listen to this. She had piercing eyes in a face framed by corn-coloured locks. That's Marlena Dietrich.
It's not so bad.
I was surprised by the piercing eyes in the face framed by a small moustache. Poor Einstein. Facial hair like that, I expect he was a bit surprised himself.
Oh. Surely nobody will publish it anyway.
Oh, you don't know anything about it. Louise says one of Sam's patients is a publisher and has expressed an interest.
Gossip writing, that's all it is. Sam's a fine doctor and he's been a very good friend to us all. But when it comes to his prose stuff...
I don't think you should have anything to do with it. Someone who can write like you having to revise this sort of rubbish.
And what do you suggest I say to Louise? That we're grateful to her for all her help in the past and will no doubt need more help in the future, but that Papa would prefer not to do the one thing she's ever asked of us in return.
Oh, of course not. But there must be another way.
I'd be very glad to hear what it is.
It's all right, Anna.
Just use a little tap.
Oh, you have no idea, Anna. Simply no idea.
But it's not just about money, Anna. What worries me is that I can't think of anything that would really help now. I don't know how they'll live the rest of their lives.
Perhaps after the war.
After the war, Papa's books will probably be republished in Germany. But they won't want to live there.
No. No, they won't. Do you remember how marvellous Mama was when we were living in Paris?
She still is. She does everything. She keeps everything going. She's the terror of the shopkeepers in Putney High Street. Only the strain is making her difficult to live with. But you and me, Anna, we're different. We belong here now, and things aren't so bad for us. I'm off on ops in a few days' time, at long last.
Take care of yourself, Max. You know what Mama says? Are you determined to get yourself killed? As though we hadn't got enough to worry about already.
Nothing's going to happen to me. After all, if it did, Mama would never forgive me. Anyway, look at you. An art school student with your nice Mr. Cockmore and friends.
I have had a good summer. And... actually, Max, I've got my first commission.
Really?
John, Mr. Cockmore suggested I needed to do something more than just filling up endless sketchbooks. Something bigger, like paint a wall.
I'm surprised you found one standing after these last raids.
Well, I did. It's in a cafe near Victoria where I eat lunch sometimes. I noticed it had big empty walls, so one day I just asked the owner if he'd let me paint them. He's paying me £15.
It's enchanting. Absolutely enchanting.
I couldn't have done it without your advice, Barbara. You were quite right about the distemper. And about those larger brushes.
Do you know, when you said you were following a Victorian theme, I imagined all ladies in crinoline standing around with no feet, you know, like on a chocolate box. But, gosh, this is so vibrant. Don't you think it's rather fine, John? By Winterhalter, out of Bert Morisot.
I expected something good, but this is a surprise.
I hoped you'd like it.
I do indeed. And it confirms my belief that you should put in for a scholarship.
A scholarship?
3 years full-time at art school, no fees and a grant to live on.
How?
Well, you'd have to show your work to a selection committee, on your teacher's recommendation. And I would like to recommend you.
Well, it sounds wonderful. Why don't we order something to eat while you tell me more? Or a cup of coffee? It's my treat. I feel quite rich now I've been paid.
Oh, we'd love to, Anna, but we really need to get home.
Home?
Come on, John. We need to look through those sketches of yours before tomorrow.
Well, hang on. I think one is allowed to kiss a favourite student, isn't one? Congratulations. May you paint many murals and win many scholarships. Good night, Anne.
You haven't been out for weeks, Anna. Are you all right?
I'm going out tonight. I'm going to a concert.
Who with?
Well, nobody in particular. There's lots of free tickets, but it's mostly Beethoven and he's not all that popular at the moment, so I don't expect many will turn up.
Which Beethoven?
The 7th.
Might I come?
Well, if you really want to, Papa. But they're not proper seats, you know. Not like the ones you were used to in Berlin. They're just benches right up in the gallery.
I should like to come anyway.
It does sound a bit Spartan.
The seats are unimportant. It's so long since I've heard the 7th.
Papa. Papa. We need to go now. We're almost the last people.
Such music.
Papa? Are you all right?
In a moment. Beautiful.
Papa?
There's no need to be alarmed. It's just such music. Such emotion. I hadn't heard it for years. Just... give me a moment.
Shall I find someone?
Let me just sit for a moment longer. My arm's gone to sleep.
Sam will be down shortly. He'll know how serious it is.
When did it happen?
I found him when I came home. Lying on the floor of his room. His voice is all strange and there's something wrong with one of his hands. Sam, how is he?
We've been lucky this time. Oh. He should recover quite quickly.
Recover completely?
This time.
Oh, thank God.
But whatever possessed him? A man in his condition to climb up to the gallery of a theatre?
Well, you know what he's like. And of course, how could he know?
Just 3 weeks ago, he came to me with all the classic symptoms.
What?
Headaches, pins and needles, very high blood pressure. Oh. I warned him to be careful and look what he does. Drags himself up 1,000 steps to listen to Beethoven.
He knew!
So that's why he came.
As I said, this time you've been lucky, but he's not a young man, and you know how these things are. Oh. One stroke is often followed by another. Just take good care of him.
Paris has been liberated. The communique just received from General Koenig announces that it has been liberated by French forces of the interior.
The liberation of Paris was the good news we had all been longing for. If only Papa didn't have another stroke. If only Max didn't get killed. If only a buzz bomb didn't fall on us. There was surely a future to look forward to at last. But that winter of 1944 was bitterly cold. There were fuel shortages, and Mama caught the flu. Then Uncle Victor died.
Even at his funeral, they couldn't let my Victor be. Those Germans. What business have they flying so close to Golders Green? Dropping buzz bombs almost on his grave.
I'm so sorry, Aunt Dainty.
For me, you can be sorry because I loved him. Mm. For Victor, better it should have happened years ago. A man so changed you never saw.
I wish I'd known him in Berlin.
You were only a little child then. Such different days. Such parties. Oh. Your father also, Hannah. So different a man. His articles, his broadcasts, his books. Everyone wants to be close to him. To hear him talk. So witty, so thoughtful. So original. But now, who knows? We have to think of the next generation. Here, have some more hot chocolate. Warm yourself up a bit.
How was it?
Awful. So cold. A buzz bomb nearly fell on us, but Aunt Dainty shook her fist at it.
Aunt Dainty in a rage could terrify even a pilotless plane. You look frozen. Come and sit by the fire.
Oh, that's better. Papa? Do you ever regret...
What?
these last years. Here and at the Hotel Continental. I mean, after the way you used to live in Berlin.
If you mean would I rather have gone on living as before, well, of course I would. There were so many more opportunities. So much to choose from. Also, I would have preferred to be more help to Mama and to you and Max.
Well, what I mean is, did you ever feel... Well, you must sometimes have wondered if there was any point.
The last years haven't all been unhappy, you know. You and Max have given us great joy. And I always had Mama.
Yes, but it must have been so awful. Losing your language and never having any money and nobody wanting your writing anymore. And Mama always so wretched.
Well, it is infinitely preferable to be alive than to be dead. Also, if I had not lived through those years, I would never have known what it felt like.
What do you mean?
Well, to be poor, even desperate in a cold, foggy country where the natives, though friendly, gargle some kind of Anglo-Saxon dialect.
But what use is that knowledge?
I'm a writer. There's a piece of me, quite separate from the rest, like a little man sitting in my forehead. And whatever happens, he just watches, even if it's something terrible. He notices how I feel, what I say, whether I want to shout, whether my hands are trembling. And he says, how interesting. And I think, how interesting that this is what it feels like.
But if you couldn't think?
Then, of course, I should not want to go on living. But even such things a writer needs to know. Haven't you found that?
I'm not a writer.
Oh, one day, I think you may be. But even as an aspiring painter, which reminds me, why don't you ever go to art school now?
I fell out with my drawing teacher.
That's all?
Oh, I don't know. Perhaps he was all I was ever interested in, really. I don't seem to be able to draw anymore. I don't even want to.
A phase.
I'm not sure. Don't tell Mama, but there's even a chance of a scholarship if I want one.
Oh, you must go back. Look, this is important. You can't give up your work just because you have a tiff with someone.
It wasn't just a tiff.
Please, I wish you to go. Please, go tomorrow.
These are really very good, Anna. With a portfolio like this, you'll get your scholarship. And there'll be peace and all the young men will be coming home.
The young men?
They'll be much better for you than I ever was.
You taught me to draw. Thank you for that.
You always were my favourite student.
Come on, John. We're having a rabbit, remember, and it's been stewing for hours.
There you see, Anna. Middle-aged people like me have to go home to eat rabbit, while the whole world lies before you.
We may as well walk from here, or we'll be early for lunch.
And Miss Aunt Louise complaining to Mama how her cook finds it absolutely impossible to get hold of smoked salmon.
Honestly, my dear, even now the war's over. What on earth will we be fighting for? Did you see the newsreels?
Of course.
Now everyone understands what we were fighting for.
It's taken a long time. I was 9 when I first knew about those places.
I know. And the country's devastated. Essen, Hamburg, Köln.
Did we ever go to any of them? I don't remember.
I don't think so. But Berlin, too. Did you read about the Grunewald?
No. We went there for picnics sometimes in the summer. And I remember going tobogganing once.
That's right. But it's been burned. It was set on fire.
It's just as well we left.
To us.
To us.
And to the English. Yeah. They won the war. Yes.
Oh, and to you and Louise, Sam, for helping us through some of the worst times.
Yeah. Mm. Who would have thought 5 years ago that we would outlive Adolf Hitler? What a wonderful wine. Johannes Bergschloss from the Rheingau. Mm. I've been keeping it specially for this. Perhaps one day we might drink such a wine again in Germany.
Perhaps.
Perhaps now they will publish all of your works again.
And so they should.
Who knows what will happen now?
You'll go back to Cambridge, won't you, Max?
Once I'm demobbed.
And you'll be a lawyer, and one day you'll become a judge. With a wig like a poodle. you have Hitler to thank for that.
Anna has won a scholarship to art school.
Yes. Oh, such clever children you have. Mazel tov, my dear.
Oh, it hasn't been easy.
But at least here we all are, together.
Yes.
I'm sorry to break up such a lovely party, but I'm afraid I must go now or I'll be late back.
Oh.
Walk with me to the underground, Anna.
Oh, and ring us as soon as you hear anything about being demobbed and Cambridge. And don't forget to remind them about your scholarship.
Yes. I can't believe it's really over.
I know. Even Mama and Papa seemed in pretty good spirits.
Yes, but Mama's worried she's going to lose her job yet again.
Why?
But it seems her boss has promised it to his niece when she comes out of the land army. And with everyone coming out of the forces, it'll be even harder for her to find another job. At least we'll all be naturalized.
But it won't make any difference to Mama and Papa.
Won't it?
They'll never belong. Not here. Not anywhere, I suppose. Remember what you used to say in Paris? That as long as you were with Mama and Papa, you wouldn't feel like a refugee.
Yes.
Well, now it's the other way round. Now the only time they don't feel like refugees is when they're with us.
Well, then we have to help them the best we can.
In Bombs on Aunt Dainty by Judith Carr, dramatised by B.T. Rubens, Anna was played by Anna Madeley, Max by Adam Billington, Mama by Adjoa Ando, Papa by Paul Moriarty, John Cotmore by Gerard McDermott, and Barbara by Tracy Wiles. Aunt Dainty was played by Thelma Ruby, Louise by Susan Engel, Mrs. Hammond by Joanna Munro, Mrs. Riley by Anne Beach, Otto by Jack Holden, George by Harry Livingston, and Sam by Malcolm Tierney. The director was David Hunter.
And you can hear another chapter at the same time next week. After the news here on Radio 4, Open Book with Mariella Frostrop. Over on Radio 4 Extra tomorrow morning, there's Roddy Doyle's short story, where his leading man has to come to terms with loss. Here, Martin begins to worry about his own well-being when a close friend passes away.
He'd had to change his trouser size from 34 to 36. It had been a bit of a shock, but it was kind of nice wearing loose trousers again, hitching them up whenever he stood up to go to the jacks or whatever. He was fooling himself, he knew that. But that was the point, he was fooling himself. He'd put on weight, but he felt a bit thinner.
Roddy Doyle's bullfighting starting tomorrow morning at 11 over on Radio 4 Extra. This is BBC Radio 4.